And I'm going to make sure that if I did things last year, if I fell into areas that were questionable this year, with your grace, Lord, with your help, I will not do it. And it takes a little bit of time, but you have to work on it. That's the problem. You know, we think that we're saved by grace, which means no effort from our part. But one thing is to be saved, another thing is to live the saved life. And to live the saved life, it means you must put in your time. Working your salvation, Scripture says. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, 2024 is going to be a year of fear and trembling. If you apply this text to your life, and if you say, this is how I'm going to live, you will be given the opportunity to tell your body what to do.
Happy New Year! Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Forest Court Church. It's Sunday, December 31st, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, A Life Text for 2024. And our text includes Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, 1 John chapter 1, verse 16, and Galatians 2:20. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this is the last Sunday of the year, and I was counting, you know, how many times I've preached the last Sunday of the year, never knowing whether we would have another year, but I presume that we'll probably have another year as well, Lord willing. And we need to be thinking on how we're going to tackle 2024. And I'd like to introduce to you an idea that we can all work on, and I'm sure it's very simple, but it could be very meaningful. And that is for you and I to choose a text from the Scriptures that would monitor and help champion God's work in our life for 2024. And so I am going to just reflect on a couple of verses, and then I'll suggest to you how you could do this in your own life, finding something from Scripture that would monitor your life, that would strengthen your life, that would enlighten you on the path, something that you go to all the time. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to type up the verse for 2024, and it's of your own choosing, of course, and that you put that in your refrigerator wall or whatever, where you can see this. And you can reflect that is the verse that the Lord has given you. And it's going to take you the whole month of January to come up with a text that really projects God's work in your life and your partnership with Him. You know, this is not a legalistic position. That is to say, whether you do this or not, you're still saved. You're still going to heaven. That's not the point. You're still a Christian. But it gives you an idea. It gives you a rudder. It gives you direction. It's like a map. You know, you can be driving in the highway knowing where you're going, and you're fine. And you can be also driving not knowing where you're going, and you're still fine, except you don't know that you got there when you got there because you don't know where you were going. So anyway, all of that to say that it is a standard practice for Christians to look at Scripture and be guided by the words of the Lord. So I'd like to go right into it, Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2, I think most of us know this. It should be maybe a chapter we should, not a chapter, a verse that we should memorize. But let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it reads this way, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, see, not of God's judgment or God condemning you or God putting you down, but in view of God's mercy, His love, His understanding, His goodness, yeah, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. May God bless the reading of His word. How many knew that verse before you came to church? I think everybody knows that verse. And I'd like to introduce to you the whole concept of presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. I say that because bodies have their own life. You're here today because your body brought you, or maybe you brought your body. I don't think we have any disembodied people here, you know, but your body is very important when it comes to worship and it comes in serving God. Our bodies have a life of their own. They really do. They have all kinds of properties. And when God created you and he created me, he gave us a body, and that this body has tremendous power. Tremendous power. It's a wonderful thing to have a good, strong, healthy body. Even when it's not healthy, it's still a very powerful instrument. And our bodies are full of meaning. Good meanings and bad meanings. Has attached certain sequences. We do things by route, by memory, like muscle memory. Our bodies are extraordinary. And the scripture says that we are, in a simplistic way, I'll say this to you, we're body, mind, and spirit, or body, soul, and spirit. And we are a unit. We're not separate entities, but we're a unit. And this body carries that. Wherever your body goes, there goes your soul. There goes your thoughts. You don't leave home, you know, when, of course, some people, yeah, they're here, but they're somewhere else. But basically, you're really here. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so when you look at your body, you find out your body has a powerful aspect of doing what it pleases. It has its own will. You're going to do what you're going to do. And you do what you want to do. And sometimes what we do is not good. And God has given the body such power that it can move away from its creator, from God. You're on your own. You can walk away from anything you want, or you can walk right into it. Sometimes when we don't know God, we run not towards God, but towards a system that compromises whatever anything could be good in our lives. We need to, as Christians in 2024, especially as a new year that the Lord will give us, we must let our body run towards the kingdom of God and work in cooperation with God's word in our lives. Because our bodies will run. They will go somewhere. And I'm saying, scripture says that we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. You have to offer your bodies. You have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, because you've done so much for me, here is my body. I'm going to tell my body to do what it needs to do for your glory. And that's the direction that we need to seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what is the kingdom of God? God doing things, God acting, God moving. Seek where God is moving and what God is doing. And that's what you need to do. Seek him first. Because wherever your body goes, that's where you will be. So when Paul says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, he's giving us some keys as to where our body should not go to, what we need to say no to. And, you know, there are three big bad things going on in the world. Well, it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they do everything they can to control your actions. And yet, Paul says, do not be conformed to the world. So somebody said to me, and what is the world? Well, John tells us what the world is. As a matter of fact, we can look it up. John 2:16. This is what it says. In the screen, you will see it momentarily. And this passage will tell us exactly what it is. It says, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The old version says, very simply, it talks about the flesh, talks about the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. When he says, not be conformed to the world, it means stay away from those things, because the world would exert pressure on your body, on you as a person, to go the wrong way, to go and just simply accomplish what the world looks at and the world approves, and the wild desires in the heart and the pride of life. The flesh, brothers and sisters, without God's grace is the portal, the entry into sin. The desires, it's nothing more than way to ruin your existence, and the pride of life, good grief. It's what I want to do, and it's just a way of looking for my own way. And if there used to be a saying that if the Jonas's had a swimming pool, you wanted to have one too. Pride of life, coveting what others have. And so what I'm saying is that John tells us that this is what the world has. And so Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because the world is a system. It's a system. It's organized flesh. It has been historically developed to make it very attractive to you and to me. Skillfully attractive. To draw you from presenting your bodies in the presence of God, moving away from a system that is corrupt. I was watching a nice television program, and it was not bad. I had about a couple of hours to, quote, kill. Have you ever had hours to kill? So I, you know, this last couple of weeks, I'm in the air because of duties and responsibilities that have somewhat ceased because of the break. And I turned it on. And as I began to watch it, all of a sudden, it was so fleshly. All of a sudden, it was so nauseous. And I said, do I really need this in my brain? Had I thought those thoughts at the moment, all of a sudden more fleshly came on the scene. We've all been there. So I said, you know, I'm going to change this right now. So I went to a YouTube channel where they pull nails. And I saw somebody. And they would infect the toenails, and the guys. I slept like a baby, knowing that my toes did not have to do anything. You know, there is a system. There's an organized system to draw you away from those things that are proper and appropriate. It's organized flesh, and it's historically developed. It is hunting on you and trying to see how it can draw you into the world. We're talking about the world. We're not talking about the physical world. We're talking about a world that is corrupt. And all of a sudden, the things that were meant to be enjoyed in life are corrupt. So Paul tells us, stay away. So 2024 should be a year that you and I would say, you know, I am not going to go that route. Those physical inappropriate desires, which are everywhere. So it was a detective story. And the detective comes up, and they have to resolve this crime. And then this guy comes up there and says, I know you can resolve this crime, and gives him a kiss. Yuck. What is this? I mean, keep that stuff to yourself. Well, actually, you should do something else with it, but only Christians can discern things correctly. And if it's not a man with a man, it's a woman with a woman, or it's nothing more than adultery, fornication. Why should I get my brain filled with that stuff? Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be shaped into the image of this world. Don't accommodate that organized system of carnality, that system that historically has been developed to ruin you and keep you away from the things that God can promise you to do. I keep reminding myself of the years when there was no cable television. It began to come out, and we had a very special family in our church, and he unfortunately decided to buy that apparatus and got into it. And in those days, they had satellite dishes that were bigger than this room, you know, huge things. And he was proud. He was the only one in the neighborhood with that stick there and that big old huge antenna, you know. Within 6 months, they stopped coming to church because they had been addicted to pornography. Do not be conformed to this world. It doesn't mean you cannot have fun in the world. I think you should have fun, clean fun, good fun. But the system wants to corrupt you. 2024 is going to be a headache of a year. Trust me. It's going to be a headache of a year. But you and I need to just come to grips and offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because you have to turn that off. You have to do that yourself. God will not do it for you. God will teach you. He will give you opportunities for you to say, am I conforming to the world or am I not conforming to the world? Do I have this physical desire that's beyond bounds? What about appearances? I need to have a room with a view. And that's why you work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And every single day you work, and you've forgotten a day of rest, a day dedicated to the Lord. I'm talking to Christians here. And we pursue that which we will never really reach because you never have enough. A room with a view. And of course, the pride of life, exalting yourself. Oh, look at me. You exalt yourself, and when you do that, you put people down. And you feel good when you put somebody down. Ah, yeah, I'm the one. So, Scripture says, you know, if you're a friend of the world, you can be a friend of God. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Think of that. Think where you're driving your body to, into hostile territory, where God says, I'll have nothing to do with this. Where God is not there. Think of it. Think of it. Think of it. Piénsalo. Because we Christians cannot be carnal Christians. We Christians cannot be living without making a difference inside of our hearts and in our lives. So Jesus does not want to chastise us in the sense of beating us with a whatever. But he wants to teach us that there is a life to be lived outside of the system of the world, of the flesh, and of course of the devil. So you and I need to be aware of what the world offers to you. Do not conform to it. Don't go there this year, coming year. I'm not alluding that you have in the past. I'm just preaching. Don't go there. Make this year a year of purity of thought, of mind, of heart. Look at your body and say to your body, you're going to obey God. I'm going to present this body as the living sacrifice. I'm going to come before God, and I am going to be there. And it says it's a holy thing because you're separate from those things which entangle everybody else. And it's pleasing to God. How many want to please God? You do it with your body. You thought you'd do it with your spirit. No, it's there, of course, but it's your body. Oh, God is so smart. He knows where we live. You and I need to put on the mind of Christ. I'm not asking for you to do anything that people of past have not done. I'm not asking anything that the word would not just require of you and me. And it's not pounding on you or making you feel guilty. It's just giving you direction in life and say, I am not going to do those things because the world, again, is a synchronized, that's the word I put it, organized flesh. How do I get your body to sin? How do I get your body to work in this world? How do I do that? And the devil throws a whole bunch of stuff to you. Now, we're cognizant of what the world has. We know what the world is, but we don't participate. And so when a moment comes and that crazy TV program's on and it says one thing and it comes out to other, change the channel. That simple. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Change the channel. And I say that because it needs to be said. You need to have the mind of Christ. I know what sin looks like, but I don't need to participate in sin. I need to preserve a level of purity in my mind and in my thoughts. Not because I'm denying the ugliness in the world, but because I will not have a part of it. And I will not be a part of it. There's so many ways in which we can take this text, but I just want you to think about your body and what is it doing, and that you're in control of your body, and that you can tell your body, don't watch that. You can get up and walk away. You can actually, by God's grace, always with God's grace, you can resist and move away from that area that is going to historically ruin you. You know how many people fall just because they don't control their bodies? Dr. Darino is with us today, and him and I have been together for 3 decades and counting. And I bring him here because he knows how many people, pastors, we have counsel, who have gone this route. Nobody is immune to this. Control your body. Control your body. Bring it before the Lord. And actually, the only way you can control it is by coming to the Lord. And it's just a living sacrifice. So it's going to cost you some. Well, you look like you want me to quit. So I will. So let me suggest another scripture. I mean, you could use this incredible text, you know, Romans 12, 1 through 2, to be your text for 2024. And say, I am going to do that. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to challenge my lifestyle, and I'm going to make sure that if I did things last year, if I fell into areas that were questionable this year, with your grace, Lord, with your help, I will not do that. And it takes a little bit of time, but you have to work on it. That's the problem. You know, we think that we're saved by grace, which means no effort from our part. But one thing is to be saved, another thing is to live the saved life. And to live the saved life, it means you must put in your time. Working your salvation, the scripture says. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, 2024 is going to be a year of fear and trembling. If you apply this text to your life, and if you say, this is how I'm going to live, you will be given the opportunity to tell your body what to do. So let me give you another text that you may want to consider, and then I will conclude by giving you my life text, the text that has followed me from many, many, many years. And it's every year I read it and reread it and read it and reread it. But the one I want to give to you is Galatians chapter 2, and it's verse 20, I think you know. This is another text that you could look at. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. And what does it say? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But he goes on to say, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Keep it up in the screen for a second. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. That is your status. If you're a Christian, what it means is that you have entered into a new relationship with God, and yesterday's life is gone. It's dead. And you're no longer living or calling the shots, but Christ is the one who's alive in you. So talk about conforming to the world. You now conform to Christ. And then he says, but I live in a body, but I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm going to find myself falling and tripping and doing things that I should not do and stuff like that. But by faith, the Lord will redeem me. And every trial and every problem, every temptation has a way of escape. And the Lord will give me that. And I'm going to live by faith. Faith is believing that God will stick to his word towards me and that I will have an outcome that is positive. And he goes to say, who loved me? Who loved me? Not beat me up, not put me down, not reproach me, not embarrass me. He didn't shame you or me. Love me. And he adds, and gave himself for me. So you may want to consider this to be one of your texts or the text for next year. That every time something comes up, you can put it down. Something comes up, you say, hey, you know what? I no longer live. Christ lives in me. How can I take Christ into this scenario? Christ lives in me. And Christ is doing a work in my life, by the way. And that work that Christ is doing, he's teaching me how to live. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Well, there's one more, and we're going to end early because we're going to end early. It was through, and it's always like this, you know, when you encounter issues in your life, you can try to do things on your own. And I came to a conclusion many years ago that it's a waste of human effort to try to correct other people or try to insinuate other people. I've given up. But I gave up a long time ago trying to correct people or have them do what I know is right and would be good for them. I just can't be a police officer. I'm not a police officer. We even police today can't do it. They're so restricted. It shouldn't be that way. But anyway, so it's a waste of human effort to try to change people. And sometimes we get into our minds a desire to change everybody because Christ is so good and so wonderful in your life. You want everybody else to be that way. But I'm telling you right now that we cannot change people. Only Jesus changes people when Jesus speaks to them and they respond. So in the midst of difficulties, I was saying to myself, is this really worth it? Because here I am in the ministry. I was a teenager at that time. I was 18. Ah, those were the days we thought they never stop. I think it goes like that, right? How's it go? Those were the days, my love, we thought they never end. That's how it goes. But they do. They do. And so I said, Lord, how am I going to handle life knowing that I'm saying the truth and people don't respond to truth? And maybe how can I live my life in my family and people in my family that are not believers? Or people who are believers, but they're weak believers in the sense that one day they're up, the next day they're down. How can I move forward? And so I developed this routine of looking for a way in which I could understand the context of my life and the context of my ministry and the customs or the God of any Christian. And I was led to Acts chapter 20. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, this is Paul. And Paul is speaking to the elders of Ephesians, and he's saying goodbye to them. He's saying farewell to them. And in verse 22, keep it up there, but let me go back to verse 22. He says, Paul says, I'm now compelled by the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me. Here's Paul saying, you know, there's a future. I would put it to you this way. I'm now compelled by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to 2024 not knowing what will happen to me, and none of us do. And then he goes on to say, I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me, listen, that prisons and hardships are facing me. We have this idea of the Christian life without problems. This idea that I come to Christ and all my issues are going to be resolved. They are resolved in a way, but experientially we go through what everybody else does, except we go through it victoriously. And Paul says, I'm going to carry on with my life. And I'm telling you, see, God is very smart. Again, he's very competent. He tells you, you're going to have a tough time. He says, you're going to have hardships. You're going to be in prison. And this is what's facing you. Now imagine if all of a sudden today the Lord were to say that this is what's going to happen to you. You may say, you know what? This is not the deal I signed up for. When I went forward, I said, Lord, give you my heart. You told me you'd take my sins away. And you told me I was going to have a wonderful cruise life. And now this ain't working out, Lord, because I got people in my family who are sick. I have issues of financial issues. Financial issues, did I say that? Still the gas prices haven't gone down. They go up 20 to 20 cents, and they go down 30 cents, and they go up 50. They think we're not thinking. Go to the market. What happened? Lord, it's not enough. Hardships. Well, maybe I should just do something devious. Well, should I really continue tithing in the church? Because I could use that tithe money for something else. And we have felt it. We feel that. We're a small church. When tithes don't come in, we have to scramble. I don't know how many times we've scrambled until there is nothing you can scramble except scratching the pan, you know. But God has been faithful to us. And God has blessed us. Yes? So here comes the verse that transformed my life. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. How about that one? The pride of life, the system of the world. But Paul's call was, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. In the other version that I have here, well, it's the same one. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race. But I like it in Spanish. Spanish is the inspired version of the Bible. English is second. In Spanish it says, y de nada hago caso. I pay attention to nothing. Y de nada hago caso. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things that I make caso. Confession is good for the soul. Because sometimes caso is caso. But Paul's attitude says, you know, what really counts is that you finish well. So you may go through hardships, you may go through ups, and you may go through downs, but the end of it is you enter into the presence of the Lord, and he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words I'm looking for. I will hear them someday only by his grace. So I remember going through this crisis inside of my heart, knowing, what am I going to do in ministry? What am I going to do? My desire was to do something else, but I had been blocked here and there. I wanted to be a medical doctor. I couldn't do it. They stopped me. It was just things that were going on in the 60s. You already know the story. In high school, I was known as the white Mexican. Mexicano blanco. Y todos los mexicanos estaban enojados porque no era mexicano. Y todos estábamos ofendidos porque, caramba. You know what caramba is, okay, leave it there. And I said, maybe I got it wrong. And this word, look, it doesn't matter what happens to you. What really matters is that you finish well. And by the grace of God, however more months or years the Lord may give me, that's what I want to do, finish well. But finishing well does not mean that you had an easy life or a flawless life. You have your ups and your downs. I think Peter is the best example because Peter had a big mouth. And so, I know you, so most of you have a big mouth. We all have a big mouth. We speak out of turn at times. And we've gone through this for some time, but remember that Peter said to Jesus, they will deny you, but I will give my life for you. And then Jesus set him up, and he said, you're going to deny me three times? And before the cock crows, and that will never happen. And those were the reflexes of the body, you know, but the body likes to talk sometimes. And of course, he was ready to beat up the soldiers and take out the sword and all that. And a little girl came and said, hey, you're one of them, aren't you? Just a little girl, you know. Listen, you don't need the soldiers to come. A little girl will come. From nowhere, you will be found out. And Peter says, that chica, no. And he even cursed. And then all of a sudden, the cock crows and... And now we see the real Peter, because Peter could have said, I put an end to this. I'm gone. I'm done. He wept bitterly. And then Jesus said to Peter, what he says to all of us, Satan wants to destroy you, but I have prayed to the Lord that you would not be destroyed. We all have Peter inside of us. Say things that we shouldn't. But the Lord has prayed for you. He is the intercessor. He prays for you and he prays for me. And the wonderful thing about the story of Peter is that Peter, with his body, he had it in his body. He had a reflex to do things. But then afterwards, instead of running away, he cried. That's the real Peter. Wept and cried. He saw Jesus. He caught the eye. Jesus wasn't scolding Peter. He was teaching Peter. Teaching you, teaching me how to live the life. So I have gone through moments in my life that I have to say, either nada hago caso, and I'm not going to pay attention to this. I need to get back on course, continue to do what God called me to do. And that's what you and I need to do in our lives. Well, I've taken a lot of time for this last Sunday of the month, but you're prisoners, except for the children who left. But let me talk to you directly and just say that we love you, and it's been a wonderful year, but this is a year that we need to polish. New challenges coming up. Find a text that you can live by. Find something in Scripture. There's so many. There's so many. I want you to go through the Scriptures and find. And then second or third Sunday of the month, Loretta, remind me, the third Sunday of the month, I'm going to come up here and say, what is your text? And I want you to come with your Bible and to read it. Wish you could memorize it, but I'm not asking that. But just read it and stand up and say, my goodness, I just opened this one. It says, Pastor, my text is, redeem me from the oppression of men that I may obey your precepts. That's pretty good. I mean, the Bible is filled like that. Let me see another one. No, that one was not appropriate. Okay. You need to find a way in which you can codify your life. Codify. This is how I will work through my year. And when things go wrong, remind yourself of that text. That will be the rudder. That will be the guide. That will be the principle. Not just that text, all texts, but that specifically. That will be the way in which you will serve the Lord in 2024. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
God delivered you from the sermon that I had prepared. But when we put our hearts in the right place and we say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. I want to present my body as a living sacrifice. It's going to cost you. And I'm not going to be conformed to the world. What's in the world? The flesh, the pride, lust of the eyes. Lord, if I conform to the world, then I cannot be your friend, because if I have friendship with the world and I participate in organized sin, I can't. I just got to stay away from that. I'm not going to be conformed to the world, but I am going to renew my mind. And the renewing of the mind comes, of course, by the reading of the word. By the way, some of you need to take a huge, huge dip into the pool of God's word. Some of you have neglected your spiritual discipline of reading the word. Some of us sometimes neglect the word and we pick up debris. You cleanse yourself. The word of God cleanses you, but you got to get into the word of God. Just reading, just read. It just take time. You know, year's going to go by, 2024, with the Lord's help, and we're going to reach 2025. Will you be better or will you be worse spiritually? Are you going to advance or are you going to... That life text needs to push you. And the way you clean yourself, you transform your mind, is by acquiring God's word into your heart. See, that was the sermon that I told you I was not going to preach. So, Lord, we thank you for your provisions of Calvary. We thank you that as we face a new year, we face it with your grace, Lord. Lord, we don't know what this new year has for us, but you do. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us, that you would cause us to be inspired and to be obedient to the directives of your Spirit, that we will listen to you and that we would do that which we know we need to do and we may have neglected it. Lord, I don't know if 2024 is going to be full of spiders and demons and scorpions and prisons and persecutions. But Lord, help us to finish the task you've given us. And that task is to live the redeemed life. We pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Maybe you've never said, Lord, come into my life. There is a point in all of our lives that we need to make a commitment to follow God. And it takes different ways and different shapes. But it begins by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and let me live for you. And the Lord takes you in just by you wanting him to come into your life. And there are different ways to do this. Some people say you need to come forward and we'll pray for you. We can do that, of course, but But mostly is the Lord working in your life where you are right now. And there are some who are watching us through Facebook and other media's platforms. All you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Let me live for you. And then contact us. Let us know. Let me know. Let the church know. And we'll pray for you. And we'll direct you. And we'll help you what it means to live for the Lord. So make a commitment in your heart. Lord, I need you to touch my life. I need for you to come into my heart. I need for you to rearrange my life because the world hasn't helped me. I'm dealing with demons in my own heart and I'm questioning everything. But Lord, come to my life. Let it happen. And the Lord will come into your life. And there are people here who can help you and can pray for you. You just need to identify yourself as one who needs that help, and we will do so by God's grace. So again, let's sing it. Here I am to what? To worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God and that you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. That's a wonderful way to sing this year's out. The Lord wonderful to you?
Amen.
Amen. So church, we end this year by the way we started. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. See you next year.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.